Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, and I don't care how many eyes she has or what kind they are, as long as she has enough electoral votes. That's all we care about.
Well,
she'll have enough.
She will. I'm sure of that.
I was going to say, Gwen, why don't you introduce everybody on the show here today? Let's start it off like that.
Well, there you go. We're glad to have our co-host, and who's been with me the longest, Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post, back with us. Thanks for being here.
Very good,
back.
Jack. Absolutely.
Yeah, good to hear from all you again. Good to be here. So let's kick some butt, right?
And we have Wayne Johnson, Mind and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. And our special guest tonight is Ronald Feynman, who's a presidential historian and author, and who is going to be doing the prognostications for us this evening.
Thanks,
Ronald.
Everyone, for inviting me. It's nice to be back.
Oh, it's good to have you.
We save you for special occasions, Professor.
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't get that.
I said we save you for a special occasion.
It's the seventh time. I guess seven's a good number, right?
Well, we've had seven special occasions.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good Lord. Well, I will say this. I wanted to say this at the beginning of the show. We do have some friends who listen to us and podcast abroad, and I've gotten some emails this week and Facebook messaging from some of my friends abroad. And, pardon me, I want to address this to you, all of them, to personally thank them for their encouragement and their hopes that we elect a woman president, someone who will be sane. It doesn't take much to really understand how fearful many of our allies are at this point with a man like Trump running. I don't think this country has seen such a crisis since maybe World War II and the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. We knew it was bad in Europe, but then it hit home. And, you know, this is like all of us sitting back and understanding the horrifying problems that go on in nations where, you know, you can say and actually do it by saying you're going to put somebody in jail who's running against you. I don't think that America has ever really taken this kind of abuse consciously in the collective conscious as they have with this race. It is racist. It's horrifying. It's anti-woman, anti-gay,
anti-Jew.
It's
the platform of the Klan.
Nativistic, xenophobic, misogynistic. It's horrible any way you look at it. It's
Islamophobic.
And we don't need any more of it.
Go ahead, Professor.
Yes,
yeah.
I said Islamophobic also.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, incredibly so. It's been extraordinarily Islamophobic. I understand that tomorrow night's last rally is going to have Mr. Khan introducing Hillary on the podium, which Has anybody seen that commercial with the Khan family?
Yes, it's a brilliant commercial.
I never walk away without a tear. I really don't. I mean, I am anti-war. But, you know, it's just extraordinary what that family's gone through and what the whole country has watched unfold with the Republican candidate. And we haven't even begun to discuss what this means for Republicans. I mean, going forward. I mean,
Is there any forward for them? I don't know. I'm starting to wonder. I hope not. Not this iteration of that party. They are miserable.
Well, the Republican Party really has to be reorganized, maybe under a different name even. Who knows?
Yes. It's got to be totally revamped.
Very good. And Professor brought up a good point right before we went on air was, you know, Trump is still relatively young and viable, that in the next, 2020 election,
mm-hmm.
he could be destroying the Republican Party once again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what could happen is Trump might form a third party, and if he gets 40, 45% of the vote now, I think he'll get about 44. I'm not saying he'll get as much, but he could possibly be the best third party candidate, even more than Teddy Roosevelt in 1912, with 27.5% of the vote. He could really mess things up and make a real three party system temporarily, and I think that would help the Democrats, but it would really decimate the Republican Party if he did that.
Yeah, well, I think the way the Republican Party, speaking as a Republican myself, folks, the Republican Party right now has gone into such nihilistic idiocy that it needs to be destroyed and rebuilt. It is not the party of Teddy Roosevelt, Lincoln, or any of those before him. FDR. Dwight Eisenhower.
No.
Yes, you're right.
Even Rockefellers. There is not that party anymore.
It's basically been a real, I mean, the way people feel and the way it's, I can't tell you how many people I've unfriended on social media. And then there's those who disagree with me, but they're green or they're whatever, but they aren't, we haven't lost our relationships over it.
You have a good disagreement where you still respect each other and you tolerate each other's opinion, you know, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, but in all cases where people are probably going to get divorced because of it, because the two people in the relationship realize, oh my God, I didn't know what you were all about.
Good point.
Well, there's, they
professor.
Said there's going to be a lot of Republican women who's telling their husband, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. Oh, yeah, you're right, Tanya. I'm going to vote for the Republicans, right? Then they get into that voting booth. It's like, oh, hell no, bitch.
Yeah. Well, we can only speculate, I guess, but I think we can speculate with some forward knowledge of what could very well happen.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the effect on children in schools and elsewhere being bullied because they are maybe overweight or because they're disabled or because they maybe are Muslims or because they're Jews or because they're African Americans or whatever. I mean, because, you know, kids see the way that he conducts himself also against girls, against women. It really can become a major problem for young people.
Well, I can tell you, I have friends who are school teachers who are saying they're already seeing it.
Yes, exactly.
Right now, down here, there was an early call last week on how many had voted already in Florida. We've already had over half the voters early vote.
That's what I heard.
28% of registered Republicans that had voted at that time voted for Hillary Clinton.
And I think it was 9% for Obama and 6% for Kerry. So it is a significant difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news. That's very good news.
Well, and we're right down here, too. The Democrats have registered. Well, Hillary's got quite a team here. I mean, she's got quite a ground game going everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But I know in recent days Obama's been down there, and has Warren been down there? I think Warren's been down there, too, hasn't she?
Yes, and so Obama's been
and Bernie?
Here in North Carolina a few times. I don't know about Bernie.
Yeah.
But
I know that here in Ohio, She's up in Cleveland right now with LeBron James, and LeBron James is saying, look, folks, get out. This is the woman you need to vote for. This is the person.
Cool.
President Obama was here in Ohio. He landed in Columbus here the beginning of last week, I think it was. And
well,
so he's been up here campaigning, too.
Yeah, I want to point out that Puerto Ricans in Central Florida are much greater numbers now, having migrated from the island, and apparently they're all coming out in large numbers. They are citizens immediately, and they are voting for Hillary. And also, somewhere on one of the channels I heard that they thought Cuban Americans for the first time might actually majority be voting for Hillary, not for the Republicans, as they have for 50 years.
That's wonderful.
Actually, that's millennials. The new
millennial Cubans, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually voted for Obama. So,
yes, I know people who are Cuban American students who said they don't tell their grandfather how they voted for Obama because it beats his own.
But they say,
"Oh, of course I'm voting for Romney or McCain," but they ended up voting for Obama. But they, you know, they kept it under, they kept it quiet.
Yeah, kept it to themselves. Good for them.
Here's the terrible thing. And it's quite true. This election has put families apart. It's created hate on the street. It's brought vitriol and the idea of white supremacy into the conversation politically and across mainstream media, which is unthinkable. It's really quite unthinkable. And the other point here is, too, this whole GD thing, with, sending out Giuliani was talking about on Fox and alluded to and everything, this email thing. Basically, the whole, if you followed the whole thing, track, I think Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow did the best.
There's more there.
Well, you've got a cabal within active New York City FBI agents in that office who are actively anti-Clinton.
Oh, they hate her.
Typically took the Clinton cash conspiracy book, which has been debunked over and over again. It's something that Alex Jones and Bannon and Breitbart put out there. It's very alt-right. It's about white supremacy. And then you have the fellow who's been dumping the cash into the Trump cause, that billionaire. Geez, I'll find his name sooner or later. I wish one of you'd help me out with that.
The guy in Las Vegas,
right?
I'm trying to think of his name, yeah. The one who has the casino, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that came
or something?
Basically, he's the one who props up Breitbart and funnels all the money into that alt-right language. And believe me, I don't think they're so much white supremacists as they want hate and fear as the tools they need to make more profits in the long run. But here's the thing. It is hate. It is white supremacy. It's the worst kind of conspiracy garbage. This is what the Trump campaign is run on. And that billionaire who was working for him and his offices, Kellyanne Conway, the mouthpiece.
Oh, yes,
Trump.
That's right. Yeah.
And
yeah, Rachel did a great expose on that the other night.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And basically what you've got going on here is the Republicans set themselves up for this. Absolutely set themselves up for this.
And they'll do anything. They are so ruthless that they will do anything. They'll even destroy the FBI in an internal civil war just to see their aims achieved. This is very detrimental. This anti-democratic, the anti-democracy, it's anti-republic, it's anti-everything. It's just bad, period, bad.
I'll remind you, back when I had the blog site Engineer of Knowledge, I did a piece on how the religious fanatics had a pseudo university just outside, just west of D.C., towards the mountains there, that basically, as long as you were repeating Bible verses and things like that, they were giving you advanced degrees. And then it was to target them, these new graduates, into positions in government because they had a bachelor's, they had a master's. And this is what they have populated the government and the FBI with, these religious fanatics. And I think that's what we're coming to see, that where this has come to fruition.
Well, you know, let's step aside from all this craziness that's been going on. Let's look at it. Let's look at it from the 25,000-foot view, the on top view.
Okay.
And let's look at it this. Let's look at a few basic things here. First of all, Trump's going around saying, oh, you don't want to vote for Hillary because she's crooked and she's going to be under indictment and she's going to be in trouble and blah, 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 and half her administration will be consumed by her defense. And, you know, who the hell is that guy to talk? You know, Christ Almighty, December 16th, he goes in on rape charges. Yeah, for a hearing.
And,
comes Trump University, the fraud, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, November's Trump University, December is the rape charge of a 15-year-old girl.
But you do not hear Hillary Clinton throwing that out there into
No, she's
when
a normal, good person,
that's
right. When they go low, we go high.
What gets me is the Central Park 5 case that he was calling for their conviction years ago. They were later cleared after being in prison for years, and he still says he thinks they're guilty. But what has he been doing with women all along? That's the hypocrisy of it all.
Well, he's a hypocrite. We know that.
Was, basically, it was a kiddie porn, pimping porn ring. And he was there. They were had these young girls against their will, 13, 14, 15 years old. And these men were basically buying underage prostitutes bought through the pimp. And that's where this case has come about.
You know,
and there's plenty of witnesses saying, yeah, we saw him sticking it to her. Did it to her four times, by the way, folks.
Oh, my God.
Here's
surprising me with these guys. They are ruthless. They're thoroughly evil. They're just bad people, period. And they're self-serving all the way, narcissistic to the nth degree. And that is not a good, healthy thing for any country.
They've played into the politics of the Republicans. Let them lay in
they
the bed.
Sure have.
But here's the thing. A couple of things. First of all, Hillary Clinton is running as the Democratic nominee on the most progressive platform ever put together by the DNC. That's number one. Her big hit are that she wants to put a jobs program out there that includes green industry, infrastructure, and retraining outside and inside of college for all levels of what you can and what you can aspire to. And she's doing as she's proposed a program as large as the WCI.
PA.
Yeah. WPA, yes.
Right.
And we need that so badly.
Right.
Yes, for infrastructure. I think she has the potential to be a much better president than her husband.
Oh yeah,
I think so, definitely.
Here's the other thing, and she has mentioned it quite a few times, and I think this is very important. This whole horrifying event in our history has brought something to the surface, a conversation that includes social injustice and the inadequacies of our justice system. And it's basically about racism. And yes, about black racism, but also about the racism against, hey, look, now the Jews are catching it again. And I hope that the Jewish community in South Florida is hearing that, but I seriously doubt it. And
well, about 70% of Jews in the United States do vote Democratic, and I think they will again. But there is about 30% that are Republicans. That's always been the way it is. But that's only about one-third.
And they tend to be very wealthy and addicted to the stock market, you know.
Yeah.
And also, many of them, I'm sorry to say, are devoutly religious, and they seem to have a whole different way of looking at things than those who are not as devoutly religious.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Not New York. They're not the kind of Jewish community I knew in New York, who was incredibly socialist, incredibly for, you know, programs that benefited the community, that were incredibly supportive of integrated community programs and intellectuals. But here's the thing. The conversation about racism has come up, and we have to have this conversation. It shocked me. it has really shocked me just how much passive and aggressive racism there is going on out there.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn, I know that all of us here on this panel, I venture to guess all of us on this panel here, lived through the civil rights movement
right.
of the early 60s, mid-60s, and even in the later 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking to myself, okay, we've addressed this, we've got it covered, we have the epiphanies and the enlightenment that this is no longer an issue. And then this year comes around, and I'm thinking, where in the hell did all this...
Well, it's been bubbling under the surface in air. We've chosen to ignore it because it's very unpleasant to deal with and to even see and to even acknowledge. But, I mean, it's been bubbling below the surface for many, many, many years, and a certain segment of the population will probably always adhere to that crazy ideology.
I would put it right back to you that where it has been bubbling under and sitting in our government has been through Republicans. Look what they did to Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's right. That is the perfect example.
But also the issue of feminism, the women's movement, we made a lot of progress over 50 years ago, but in many ways we haven't because there's a lot of opposition to, to women being treated fairly and equally.
Right.
I have come to the point, gentlemen, where I have said openly, and I mean this, I do not have respect for people who would vote for Trump. I do not. No longer.
How can anyone in their right mind, because it's such a crazy vote? I mean, what are you voting for? You're voting for a bunch of hot air and blowhard nonsense and jingoistic craziness that has nothing to stand on. It has absolutely nothing beneath it to support it. It's crazy.
Well, it's amazing when you think that we look back now and George W. Bush looks like a pussycat, doesn't he?
Oh, it's incredible. Who would ever thought?
Honey.
And John McCain and Mitt Romney, although I didn't care for either of them, certainly looked better. So it's been going downhill. It's worse and worse. And they were warned after 2012. Reince Priebus said we have to change our relationship with Hispanics and all that, and they haven't done it.
That lasted about 2 days.
George W. Bush is voting for Hillary Clinton.
You
took
the words right out of it.
And
every living president, Daddy,
all of the Bush
Carter,
women,
Daddy Bush, Clinton, W. Bush, and
Carter is going through Georgia tonight, stomping for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Who's that again, Gwen?
Rosalynn Carter is out on the trail in Georgia for Hillary Clinton.
Great.
There you go. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be done. Good citizens of this country need to stand up and say, we are not going to put up with this.
And,
there are
so many Republicans, lifelong Republicans, officials of the party in past administrations that are coming out solidly against Trump. So
the economists and the military and the intelligence people
The
people like David Frum, the conservative writer David Frum, and so many others. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And they're voting
George Will,
for Hillary, or they're just not voting.
And George Will is also against Trump.
Yep.
George Will actually resigned his membership in the Republican Party. He says, they have left me. This is too insane. I will not be part of this.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And it's all been it's been a gradual ongoing onslaught from the far right edges of the Republican Party that's trying to push the political agenda even further to the right, and they will fail. This is not a far right country. They believe it, but it isn't.
Do you know how far it's gone? The night before last, a thing like David Duke was allowed to stand on a stage at Dillard University in Louisiana and screed about Jews and all kinds of, Ku Klux Klan trash and to promote Donald Trump. I mean,
and they had no audience there. They left the students out of the audience because they thought there'd be trouble, but there were demonstrations outside and tear gas was used against people outside the auditorium.
Those children who are attending class there, this is a historically black college that has produced some of the finest minds that have come into our country, into our society. And those children stood outside and said, no, no, this is wrong. You can't do this. And I was for them. I was for them 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Any rational person
I'll
would
say
be.
This to anybody. And anybody who is Muslim, I mean, the engineering firm I'm with, we have Muslims, we have Hindus, we probably have some Buddhists. We're all very diverse if you want to look at us religiously. But what we do have in common is a high educational level, and that's why they're there. We have those that with master's degree in electrical engineering. They have their doctorates in electrical engineering. And guess what? We all pull as a team working together.
Wow.
And, that's the way it's always been up until recently.
And you guys keep leaving out pagans and neo-pagans and goddess worshippers and all the good folk.
Well, that's true. That's true. They're not as, they're not as easily recognizable. I mean, they're not wearing those.
When the lady walks out on the stage in white, that's a message. That's a message to all women and all men that says mom's home.
Yeah.
Okay? It really does. And all religions, all different. This is America. This is America. This is where, hey, my sister came home today and she said, you know, I saw something great. I thought she was going to tell me. She saw Hillary signs next to the Trumpettes that are all over the place on the overpasses. She said, no, it was still sign. I said, great. At least there's somebody with enough to stand up to those kids and put their sign down. Because I had to tell you, around here, I've moved up to the country, and it's very Republican up here. But I think that for every house that has a Trump sign in front of it, somebody in that house is going to be secretly voting for Hillary.
Well, I'm sure that would be the case. Let's hope so.
I'm going to say, on that topic, riding around the Columbus area here, the more affluent, well-educated demographics of the neighborhoods all have Hillary signs. You go outside into the hee-haw, Billy Bob, lard-tards, that's where you'll see the Trump signs outside of the, and I'm talking like 20 miles out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually, I think we have a long-range issue here that the urban and suburban areas where much of the population is the majority, not of course everybody, are going to be Democratic in the future, and the rural, more interior areas where there's fewer people are becoming more and more Republican. And it's almost like sometimes I think that the rural areas, almost like the 19th century, they want to go back to the 19th century when immigrants were not allowed in, the Know Nothing Party existed, slavery existed. And all that.
Right.
And then on the other hand, we're looking at urban and much of suburban America is the 21st century, and it's a clash of cultures, and I think it's a long-range problem for the country,
I think it's been happening for quite a while, Professor. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
And it's getting more obvious with Donald Trump's candidacy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's flushed
them
all out.
And the thing that gets me is those demographics we're talking about being outside of the urban areas, there's the ones that will repeat the anti-science. There is no evolution. There is no global warming.
Science.
And I'm looking at them like, do you know what my degree is in? And when you're sitting there trying to preach to me that there is no evolution, there is no climate change, when I know the chemical science behind how it's happening,
want to rewrite history to make it the way they want it to be in America.
Well, they're just non-believers. They're just non-believers in the truth, and they want to create their own truth, and they want to force it on everybody else. These people, they're very delusional, and they're very dangerous.
Yes, they are.
Well, there's something also that's going on here. It's about education, too. There are those people who have not been afforded the ability to go into school. And, if we go under Uncle Milty's rules from the Chicago School of Economics, came in with the neocon, but if we go by his rules, it'll dumb down America more.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is the uneducated and the very poor that seem to like the nationalism the most because it's something that they can cling to. which is fear and loathing.
Right.
But the point is, I think it isn't said enough that years ago, when he began to walk in this direction, Mr. Trump did say that he would go right after that demographic because they were the stupidest people in the country.
I love the poorly educated. He said it himself. I heard it on TV.
Yeah, well, there's also a saying, too much education is a dangerous thing.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, that's been a tenet of the right's beliefs for a long time. They want
people, they don't want too many middle class.
They don't want too many people making too much money. They want to keep it all for themselves, and that's led to the rise of the wealth disparity we have and all the evils we've had along with that have been bad, so...
And Donald Trump wants them to have more tax cuts for the wealthiest 1%.
Oh, exactly.
Worse
than Reagan or Bush, too, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. One of the most important things that we can do ongoing in the next few years, besides making many of those seats in Washington blue or Indy or whatever, but on the side of decency and what's good for the country, we really need to bring back, because I can remember when I went to school, you can get a Pell Grant, and if you qualified, you didn't have to pay a high tuition to go to a really great school like SUNY or CUNY up in New York State. I knew a lot of people went to school that way. And then, of course, there was always the GI Bill. A lot of people went to school that way after Vietnam. But are they giving those opportunities anymore? Not so much.
Uncle Miltie has infused this society with a bunch of very crazy, dangerous ideas, among which have been trickle-down economics. There's no such thing. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's a lie. And and the fact that... the profit motive is the be-all and end-all of everything when it's not. And he's got this crazy adherence to Republican orthodoxy now, where you've got to be a supporter of tax breaks at all costs, especially for the wealthy. And tax breaks by themselves will create new jobs. What a joke.
It hasn't happened.
It has never happened.
I want to point out that years ago in New York, there was free tuition for the city colleges and the state university.
And
in California, there also was. And so Ronald Reagan ended it.
He ended it, yeah. Well, he felt threatened by the amount of liberals that were questioning things. And he was an old guard conservative from day one. He started out as
a
Democrat.
A liberal Democrat.
He
had supported FDR's New Deal when he was younger.
He was.
That's what's
younger.
Interesting. He switched when he married Nancy.
Nancy got a hold of him and changed his mind somehow.
Her father was a conservative Republican, a surgeon,
and he
had an impact
on him big
his son-in-law.
Yep, yep, very good point, yep. And he worked on him big time. And he got him all converted to this nonsense, and we're paying the price for it right now. His presidency, for all this talk about him being a great president, no, he was mediocre at best, and he's very harmful in many ways.
Yes, he's seen as a godlike figure, though, by the right.
Oh yeah, and they wouldn't even accept him today. He'd be too far left for them.
Yeah, and the fact that his two sons, Michael and Ron Jr., say that he would be horrified at what Trump was all about.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely, even Michael has said that. He's been
he's a conservative, but even he has said that. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. Absolutely.
And the theory
incredible.
Is, I wrote an article on History News Network. Barry Goldwater, I don't think would accept him either. I think he'd be shocked at authoritarian streak. You know.
Boy,
yeah,
that's speaking volumes, isn't it?
It is. Well, that's how far to the right they've gotten. They're falling off the political table. They're not relevant at all, except in their own minds, and they're in a big state of delusion and non-belief. And they you can't keep doing that. That you can't fight reality.
I also wrote an article on Richard Nixon, and I said, I think Nixon, if he was here now, would be horrified and say, how in the world does he get away with things I couldn't?
That's right.
Like, good news coming out of all of this. Some of the good news is the fact that the Obamas are not leaving D.C. They've already rented a house, put their house on the market in Chicago, and the president has office space downtown. And do you know what his, other than writing for Wired magazine, Do you know what his project and goal is for the next 4 years?
No, I do not.
To
sweep. Well, building his library, for one thing.
No, his big goal is to sweep every Republican out of state and national houses as he can, and he's building a coalition to do it.
That's great, and I'm sure Bernie Sanders is going to be a big supporter of that and trumpeting that same idea.
What do I need? As a Republican, what do I need to do to help him out? Because even Karl Rove, like I said, I don't want to keep hitting this hammer, but back in 2005 when I told Jack Kemp that he was flirting with disaster of embracing this fanatical, lunatic right, and his own words, you know, the wild-eyed radicals or reactionaries, I'd like to know, we need to purge this escrow out. And Karl Rove has been spending millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to purge the teabaggers out and the other wingnuts, and it only got worse.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got to say that I think Paul Ryan, if assuming the Republicans keep the House, which I think they will by a small margin, is I think he's in danger. He's going to be dumped by the teabaggers, as we call it, the Tea Party Freedom Caucus, and they're going to want
like
a Speaker
him.
Of the House who's more to the right of him.
That's right. They do. They do. They really do.
That'll be the swinging of the pendulum.
What's going on here is that Mr. Trump has putrefied the waters around the Republicans so badly and brought up the issues to voting people so awfully that I think Mr. Obama's plan has every capability of being successful in the next 4 years. And beyond that, I think that people have had enough, especially people who are decent and good. And that's the other thing. I really think there are more good and decent people in this country than there are the hate-filled, the mongers, the stupid.
Well, one thing we haven't discussed this week, but we have in the past, is the fact that the media is playing a horrible role in this entire controversy. They love the controversy. They love the spectacle. They love the people at each other's throats. And they
make
hate it when one candidate or the other gets too far ahead.
Driving up ratings. Higher ratings means bigger advertising.
That's exactly
profit.
Right.
Yes.
And it's disgusting. It's all built on profit, and it just shows you how corrupt, really, and profit-driven our system has become. It's just it's a disgrace.
Yeah, I think if Walter Cronkite was here, he would be bemoaning what's going on. He was such a top journalist.
Even Bill O'Reilly has come out publicly and said, it was on David Letterman, I saw him say it himself. He said, ever since they made news for profit.
Right.
Programming.
Yeah.
They ruined
infotainment.
The objectivity and true news reporting.
Right. Yeah, Dan Rather and Ted Koppel have also commented in that regard about that journalism isn't what it should be.
No, it's infotainment. It's not information anymore. It's infotainment. And that's the big problem.
And it's misinformation because Fox News does the check of facts. Says that any given day, 60 to 80% of what they broadcast is either misleading,
innuendo,
or an out-and-out lie.
Yeah, exactly.
But people like to gobble it up because they want drama. There's not much else they have to cling to.
Well, the danger is the people that really don't pay that close attention to the facts, and they get misled by it. And there are a certain amount of people that are in that category, and that's horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people, their news source is just homogeneous. They don't double-check. They don't second-source anything. If one of those news agencies, or like the Drudge Report, let's take that piece of crap. They will turn around and quote it as if they are well-informed when they have just, we used to say back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, says, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance,
Baffling with bullshit.
And,
that's what they've done.
And I think our generation here knows this one well.
Yes, Drudge and Breitbart and all of those far right, all they do is they spout out nonsense and crazies and lies.
Right, and people repeat it like they're well informed.
And then they get conspiracy theorists like Glenn Beck out there to spin all these crazy wacko conspiracies. I read recently that Glenn Beck's kind of pulled it in a little bit.
Well, Glenn Beck actually hates Trump. He actually has been against him from the beginning, which is quite surprising.
Good.
The thing is, Ron, he is losing money. He's losing viewerships. They aren't paying attention. And he's losing revenue. He's trying to save his show. So he's doing a flip, trying to hit another.
And he's still got Beck University, like Trump University.
Oh,
can you imagine people paying tuition for that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
There's a sucker born every minute.
Excuse me, gentlemen, nobody has been listening to Glenn Beck through any of this. Who they're paying attention to is the vilest of the vile, that G.D. Alex Jones.
Oh, what a piece of crap. And Michael Savage and all these guys.
Yes.
And Michael Savage is a perfect name.
Yeah, right.
Well, it implies Breitbart and the Drudge Report. I mean, guys funnel stuff around, you know, they pass it like passing papers through a classroom and then stick it up there. And if you've ever seen anything that, I mean, even one time taking a look at Alex Jones and what he has to say, you go, you got to be kidding me.
And Trump loves him. He refers to Alex Jones.
Yes. And it's just unthinkable because the man is so totally lunatic. This is a guy who wants to get rid of the English monarchy because he thinks that they're lizards, that they're you know, some of the lizzies from the other dimensions. I mean, this guy is...
Like lizard people? Wait a minute. Okay, I have to say, guys, you have me at a total disadvantage. Who is this guy? Where is he from? And why have I never even heard of him?
His name is Alex Jones, and it's called InfoWars. His site is called InfoWars. This is the guy who uses chemtrails to tell you that, you know,
God.
I mean, I freaking research crop circles, and I know something's going on there. But this is somebody who takes something that has absolutely no scientific data to back it up, like chemtrails, and sticks it out there as, you know, you're being poisoned, you're being this, that, and the other, as the military exploration of how to, you know, chemically induce hallucinogens to certain communities for experimentation by the military. I mean, I can come up with this crap real easy. I mean,
I wonder if these people used to be employed years ago as National Enquirer writers, because they're coming up with the same kind of spin and crazy nonsense.
You know,
National Enquirer endorsed Trump along with the Ku Klux Klan newspaper. That's the only ones that endorsed.
Statue of Elvis found on Mars. Give me a break, you know?
Jack, it's real funny you should say that, because the National Enquirer and its ownership is in tight with the Trump campaign, too.
Yes.
I'm not
the KKK newspaper.
He probably lent
them
some
money. The only thing they're missing is Carter.
Yeah, but all these conservative newspapers, Dallas, Cincinnati, Houston, Phoenix, Arizona Republic, they all, you know, backed away. They would not back Trump, and many of them backed Hillary.
Yeah,
isn't this incredible?
Well, that's the same thing here in Ohio. The Columbus Dispatch and the Cincinnati Inquirer, I don't think has backed a Democrat since
100 years, I think.
Century.
Right.
Yeah.
It's incredible that Trump is a major Republican
said,
candidate. Has failed to attract not even one major newspaper endorser.
The Inquirer is major, right?
One of the San Diego Tribune, I think, is back Trump.
Jack.
San Diego did.
He did get very major endorser.
Oh, a small paper in San Diego, not a major paper. A small
San Diego.
I've never heard of it. It has very little readership.
Well,
major papers in Dallas, the Dallas area, they have never not since the days of Roosevelt have they backed a Democrat, and this year they broke that.
And that doesn't even count, but here's the thing. Yes, absolutely, he did get a pretty damn big endorsement. that endorsement was the Crusader, gentlemen. The Crusader is nationally distributed.
That bastion of literary excellence. Sorry.
Ron,
yes.
We need to hand you some time here because we've gone 45
sure.
minutes.
Sure. Yeah, let's turn this over to Professor Ron.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I wrote an article on History News Network. It came out Friday, so you can look at it on History News Network. I've also written on my blog, The Progressive Professor, a similar article, and I've written like 5 articles today. I'm really going at it today. But my projection, and I just want to point out that in 2012, I was exactly correct on my projection on the presidential election, that it would be 332 to 206 for Obama over Romney. And in 2008, which is when I started the blog, The Progressive Professor, I looked back at it. I really hadn't remembered. And I was one electoral vote off,
Right.
I said it would be 162 yeah. But it said it was 365. The reason is I wrote in that article on that day in November of 2008 that I thought Indiana, which has 11 electoral votes, I thought would go to Obama and McCain, and that Missouri, which had always gone with the winner since 1900 except 1956, would probably go to Obama, and that's 10 electoral votes. So I said that Obama was going to win Missouri but not win Indiana. Instead, he won Indiana, not Missouri, so the total electoral vote was off by just one.
Great.
Imagine
well,
that. So it was basically correct. Except for the one. So I'm hopeful this time that I will be correct. And as I've said, to a lot of people, if I am correct, I'm going to brag about it.
Well, yeah, and tell our listeners what you predicted
this time.
I'm talking
about you anyway, Professor, because like I said, I've known you for since 2008, I think it is. So.
Yes, yeah.
Tell us what you're
all right, so anyway, getting away from the
professor.
Silliness, I'm just pointing out that I was correct. My projection is that the final electoral vote, will, and I really still believe in it, it's been a couple of days, that it will be 352 electoral votes to one, 352 electoral votes, final total, indeed, and 186 for Trump. And the difference will be this, that I think that all the blue states – all 18 of them, and Washington, D.C., will go to Hillary, the ones who have gone 6 straight times Democratic. I do not think Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin, the only ones even discussed. And today I heard Minnesota, which I think is laughable.
Oh, no.
No
Hillary's
chance.
Well ahead here.
Yes, so I think they all will stay. Now, those 18 states and Washington, D.C. is 242 electoral votes. Mm-hmm. So, as I've told people, all she needs, Hillary, is either win Florida or win Ohio and Virginia or win Nevada and New Hampshire and Iowa, et cetera.
She's solidly ahead in Virginia.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And so what I'm saying is that if she has 242 settled, and that's not going to change in the future. I don't think those 18 states will ever change until there is a different Republican Party. I think those states are guaranteed for the long term, and that gives any Democrat in the future a heads up on being the winner of the presidency for quite a long while, unless the Republican Party moves back to a centrist, conservative kind of a viewpoint. But right now, I don't think it's going to happen. All right. No. Anyway, that's the blue states. Then there's 8 states that were swing states, and we could also call them purple states. And I project, and all of them went to Obama, so he won 26 states, 18 blue and 8 swing. And I project all of those states will go to Hillary except Iowa. I think Iowa will swing sides and go to the Republicans. So that'll be a loss of 6 electoral votes. So if you're looking at the 332 and you subtract 6, that's 326. But again, I said 352 because I believe there are 2 red states that I think are very likely, and I really believe they will switch. One is North Carolina, which is 15 electoral votes, and the other is Arizona, 11. So I think those 2 will, and that'll make it 326, and 26 is 352, and that's my conclusion. However, I also have said that there's a chance that some other states could switch. I don't think they will. but I think there is a chance, certainly. You know, the fact is, I believe that Texas is very close. I don't think it's going to switch, but it's like 5-point lead for Trump when Romney at 16. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Texas is going to transform in the next decade, not necessarily
yes.
now. If they did it now, it would be over 400 electoral votes, but I don't think that's going to happen. But once Texas switches over to the blue side, with the growing Hispanic population, I think that the Electoral College will be permanently Democratic for eternity because, you know, after all, if you get 38 electoral votes and California remains blue and New York remains blue and Florida, the other big state, is becoming certainly a little more likely blue, where are the Republicans going to get enough, you know, big states to help them win the Electoral College?
Yeah, they're gradually receding into a party of grumpy old men that don't have much clout.
Yes, smaller right. South and Midwest and Great Plains states. That's about it.
Right.
And Mountain West a few, but all small states in population.
Right.
Lots of land, though. The land is much more. If you look at the total land area, they'll
right.
have the land, but not the people.
Exactly.
And I just don't think they're going to change until they do. This is the future, I think.
It's so interesting to see that Trump, being a New Yorker, of course, he's from Queens or whatever.
Yes, Queens
and
Manhattan,
City.
Yeah.
And but he's not.
See, I first thought
in
May he might win New York. I said in May in an article on History News Network, but then I realized, oh boy, am I wrong? So I gave it back to Hillary.
Yeah, no, Hillary. Yeah. Hillary right now is swamping him. I mean, it isn't even close. And it's funny. Well, it just shows you, you know, New York City is a lot different than the rest of the state. And
yes.
it's showing up
in
very
state,
much
Chicago
is
different than downstate Illinois. Even
oh, yeah.
in a state that's blue, it's the cities, the metropolitan areas that really
yeah.
now carry the states.
When
it comes
say,
to
Maryland,
Maryland, states will the
my
Democrats
home state
pick
of Maryland,
up.
If you pull that Baltimore-Washington corridor, that strip.
Oh, yes, especially Northern Virginia. Wow.
So going to the hillbillies in the western part of the state in the Appalachian Mountains, they vote red, and then the Hee Hauls, chicken farmers on the eastern shore of Maryland, they vote.
Yeah, may I ask you, Wayne, why do you call people in Maryland Hee Haws and in Virginia hillbillies?
Well, because we're on
what's the difference?
Flat sandbars, right?
What's
and
that?
The mountains, they're hillbillies. They're up in the mountains, Appalachian Mountains in the western part of Maryland.
Okay, so what's a Hee Haw?
Oh, Hee Haw? It's just like I named after the TV show, you know, hee hee, haw haw.
I see. It just sounds funny how you differentiate by state, no Billy from the hee haw.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ron, we're segmented into three different levels. You know, the intellectual, normal folks, the hee haws on the eastern shore of Maryland, which that's where my farm is. Okay, I get to say that. And then the hillbilly.
And one of my good friends lives there who you know.
Hey, yes, Peggy. Peggy, yes.
Peggy Mitchell,
I've
yes.
for coffee sometimes.
Yes,
you know,
she
I'm
is.
Like, I'm going to try to see her when I'm home here for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We are negating the other part of the conversation here. What
we
about
did, didn't we?
The town ballot? This is vital. What's going to happen in the Senate?
Okay, my view is that there are 9 seats that are in play, plus one in Nevada. The Nevada seat, which is Democratic, it's not going to be Harry Reid. It's going to be, of course, a Republican, Joe Heck, running against Catherine Cortez Masto. And that's the only Democratic seat in danger as far as possibly switching. But
yeah, but Heck's way behind
every evidence
right now.
Is she's going to win it because she's the Attorney General of the state. She's very popular. She's also
right.
Hispanic. And the state has
yep.
become much more Hispanic. And the early turnout indicates it's going to be a very blue state, so I think that seat will be saved. I really do
yeah.
think that's saved, which is a beginning, because if you gain seats elsewhere and you lose one in Nevada, then you're losing one seat altogether.
Right.
But as far as the other 9 seats, I tend to think 6 of the 9 are pretty definite. I think that they will go to the Democrats, and that would raise the Senate from 46 Democrats to 52, making them the majority, 52 to 48. And my way of looking at it is Illinois is the most likely to go Democratic.
Yes.
Tammy Duckworth against Mark Kirk. Actually, Mark Kirk is sort of like more moderate than most, but he's just in an impossible situation in Illinois,
right.
and he's,
yeah.
he's going to lose his seat, I think, to Tammy Duckworth.
Tammy Duckworth.
And then Indiana. I heard on one of the shows they said Indiana, Evan Bye coming back is going to lose. I don't really believe that. The Byes, Birch, and Evan are very popular, and he's pretty conservative, moderate conservative for a Democrat. Even though I think it was Charlie Cook said today that he thought that seat was going to go to Todd Young, I still tend to think it may be close, but I still think Evan Bye will win that seat. I consider it the second most likely to be gained, honestly. And Wisconsin, Russ Feingold, who I really like a lot, and was kicked out by Ron Johnson. It seems like he's got, although it's getting closer, it seems like he'll come back. And if he is, he's the first senator to be defeated, come back, and defeat his opponent 6 years later since 1934. Imagine that. Very rare.
That's great.
And I really like Feingold. I was very upset when he lost his seat last time. So I consider those three seats definite. Then I would say also New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, who Joe Scarborough mentions every day. I think he has a love affair with her. It seems like it on his show. He's always talking about her. She's all right. She's had a rough race against Maggie Hassan, the governor. It's an old women, you know, competition. And I, you know, Maggie Hassan's very popular. She's been a good governor, and I tend to think that she's going to win that seat. So that would be a fourth seat. All right, and then we have Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey, who is not as right-wing as some, but Pennsylvania's a tough state, and I think Kathleen McGinty is likely to take his seat. That's the fifth one that I think. And then I would also add, finally, North Carolina, which today they said too close to call, Deborah Ross against Republican Richard Burr, who has already said that he will work to block any Supreme Court nominee if the Republicans win the Senate. And he and John McCain have done that, and I don't think that's a poor thing to say, you know, when you're running.
Yeah, I think you might say
that's six.
Then
there's Arizona. I don't know. I think McCain should be beaten, but it's not
going to
be easy. It's going to be a close race, I guess. I think Hillary's going to carry Arizona. She might be able to get Ann Kirkpatrick in. That's a seventh seat. And then comes Florida. That's seven if they all do. But I'm not so sure about Arizona and then Florida. Honestly, I think Marco Rubio's got the edge against, Patrick Murphy. But it is close, and I hope Murphy wins it, and that would be significant if he could, and that's number eight. So I think that would also be in play. Okay, so that's eight seats, but again, I'm not sure all those will go. I would go for guessing six seats would go.
But
then there's a ninth
seat,
Missouri, which is very close. Roy Blunt, who's the incumbent, and whose whole family seems to be in the business of government. They all have the special deals. It seems almost like a corrupt family. Jason Kander is only 35. He's come along, and he's been very close. And he and Patrick Murphy in Florida are only in their 30s and would be like the future leadership of the Democratic Party if they could both win. And also, a lot of these seats the women are running, we could have many more women. We could have 25 women instead of 20 if they all win.
That would help.
It's a pretty good deal, I think. You know, I think I would get six, but they could get up to nine. If they could win nine, if they could actually win them all, which I don't really think, they would have 55 seats because next time, two-thirds of the seats are Democratic. So the Democrats are bound in the midterms to lose some races. So if they could start off with 54 or 55, it would be better than starting off with 52. That means they could only lose two seats to keep a majority. So unlikely they will keep the majority in 2 years. But if they can get the first 2 years, at least we can get Supreme Court appointments through, which I just wrote about today. The most important issue of the campaign is the Supreme Court.
Right.
The whole problem with this kind of projection is this. You're not taking into accountability the way the Republicans have behaved during this election. I think it's going to make a big difference in the election.
I hope you're right. Same thing with the House. I think they'll gain 18 to 20 seats, which the Democrats, but they need 30. I don't think they can gain 30. If they gain 30, that would be great. They'd have a control of both houses. But I tend to think if they gain 18 to 20, that's good. And then they'll lose some in the midterm, unfortunately, because the party in the White House usually loses seats in the midterm.
Yeah, but see, what you're doing there, again, is you're using the past to project the future, which used to be
I'm an historian, remember.
I was going to say, he's got the perspective.
Excuse me. Let me get my thought out here. This used to be...
Okay, I'm just teasing you. Yeah, go ahead.
It used to be true until the Republicans got all those Tea Party people in that nobody saw happen before. Okay, now Now you've had a bigger upset than the Tea Party with this Trump candidacy, and all of the backbiting and the back walking and the interim fighting within the Republican Party. So I don't think anything can be projected on or off the table. And you're forgetting that the president who leaves office in January is making it his life's mission to make sure that doesn't happen.
Which is great.
Very good. That's what I was saying. And the thing is, Glenn, we also have to point out the past two Republican presidents are coming out saying they are voting for Hillary Clinton, not Trump. So that is unheard of to have bastions of who held the office of presidency for the Republican Party say, oh, hell no. You know, I'm pretty sure, Professor, I'll ask you this. Has that ever happened in history before?
No.
Nobody's ever been as outrageous a candidate. The only one closer is Barry Goldwater.
Barry Goldwater is coming to close second.
Ron would know that.
Looks like a pussycat, though, now.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was much more mild-mannered than Trump.
And he had experience in government, 12 years in the Senate.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I would like to put on the table, too. All of those progressives and Bernie people who have gone over to Jill Stein and the Green Party that are sharpening skills at politics, because I think the next 2 years are going to offer them a huge door to open up if they're smart enough and organized enough to take it and politically savvy enough. I really do.
Well, she hasn't benefited much from their support. last time I saw, she's running a distant fourth.
Well, I don't think that you have to look at Jill Stein as the Green Party. I think you have to look at the Green Party as an entity unto itself.
Right.
Yeah. I want to add in that Evan McMullen is an independent who might, I don't think he will, win Utah. And Utah, even Hillary could win Utah, I doubt it.
Right.
But it's very close to the winner in Utah with Gary Johnson also getting substantial support, the Libertarian.
Right.
A 35% wins at McMullen or Gary Johnson could. I mean, even Gary Johnson could win New Mexico, in theory, his home state. Mm-hmm. I understand he's getting 10% in New Hampshire. The point is, we could have an independent win a state the first time since George Wallace in 1968. Probably not.
Right.
Possible.
Wow.
And this Evan McMullen is a new, young conservative, 40 years old, who worked for the Republican Conference in the House, has been in the CIA, and has appealed, but he's only on 11 ballots. But he could possibly, as a Mormon, win Utah in a close vote.
Well, and please remember, folks, too, one of the largest voting blocks here that everybody seems to keep missing out is millennials and what will appeal to them.
And they tend to be a lot more progressive than their parents.
Yes. I just read that today. Millennials definitely are more progressive. Independents are more likely to vote Democratic now than ever, and college-educated more likely.
Right.
These are new groups along with African-Americans, Asian-Americans, and Latinos, and, you know,
Things are heading in our direction.
It seems, but of course, people have to go out and vote. That's why the important thing is everybody listening. You got to get out there and vote, and you got to get others to vote, too.
Right.
And you have to work towards organizing what you're working on, too. I worked with the Green Party last time, and, I tried to. Let me put it that way. They are like a Chinese fire drill.
Yeah.
But if they can organize and they put things together, because really, their ideals, their issues, and what they want to see happen is
important. Great.
It's vital.
Yeah.
And I would never vote for Jill Stein because I don't think she's the candidate. But I know people work in the Green Party that I've seen that impressed the heck out of me. It's just the experience, and that it really is getting to know politics. But as I said, I think politics is going to be changing quite a bit.
I think so, too. And then I think in a good way.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Ron writes up this election. I'm looking forward to seeing the article post-election.
Yeah, post-election.
Well, it'll be a while, but I'll write some for History News Network, and I'll write on the blog every day, yes. And
right,
I must say that the History News Network has been wonderful to me. I never wrote before this year, but I've written 44 articles this year, and you know, I'm very appreciative that he's given me that opportunity, Rick Shankman of History
That's
News
great.
Network.
Ron, you deserve Good. Every bit of it. I've always had a very high esteem for you, and a bit, definitely
appreciate that. Thank you.
Cheerleader.
I have high esteem for you guys, too.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And listen, Ron, don't forget to go over and post on Facebook on the Here Be Monsters radio page.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I'm going to post about that. This has taken place. This, you know, and I advertised it before, told people to listen. But I'm going to definitely post on Facebook about this. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, good, gentlemen, we've taken up our hour, and we were able to get Ron's projections in there. I really
thank you so much.
Ron,
yeah.
And doing this, please tell us the name of your last book and where people can find it.
Okay, well, first of all, it's coming out in paperback in March, and it can be pre-ordered on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or at Roman Littlefield, and it's $17.95, a very reasonable price for a paperback. And it's, of course, entitled Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. And it's gotten great reviews on Amazon, and it's sold well enough that it is coming out in paperback in only a few more months. So it can
great.
Be pre-ordered, and again, the price is very reasonable. And a lot of people have found it a fascinating book on all presidents, presidential candidates who have faced assassination threats or more, and also the might-have-beens, the people who might have been president if history had been different.
Wonderful. And how do I
Thank
get
you.
That signed by the author?
I'd be glad to.
Jack? I'm so glad we got you back. Hope you're feeling up to muster. I guess the ground froze.
No, not yet. There's no freeze in sight yet. This is global warming is true. It's happening here in Minnesota. It was 68 today, and it's going to be high 40s
wow.
or a low, and that's going to continue all this week now. Low 60s, high 50s for highs, and nowhere near freezing.
And I've heard that there's going to be better weather for the election than ever in history for the whole country. Everywhere is going to be good, which means a lot of people are going to come out. And
that's
more
great.
People come out, it means Democrats usually win, generally.
That's right. That's very
so
true.
So apparently, even Alaska is warmer, I've heard. So everywhere, the weather is going to be great. I think it's a good sign.
That's great.
They're freezing their tuchuses off over in Europe right now. They're getting
Isn't
hit
that
with
funny?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Is that
Wayne,
true in England, too, or just on the continent?
Well, it's true in England, too. Well,
they deserve it for Brexit. Stupid move, you know?
Well, that's got to go up now to the House of Commons, I understand.
That's right.
Yeah,
it goes before Parliament.
If it goes before Parliament and they put it through, Scotland's seceding from Britain so that they can
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
particularly impressed with Theresa May so far, personally. I don't find her –
no.
I don't like the way it's starting. It's in my impression
no.
anyway.
No.
Any of you have a thought on that?
She has very little effect on things over there. It's out of her control, I think.
Maybe it's that. I don't know, but – I'm very disillusioned. I can't believe that what happened because I think it's a detrimental step, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, somebody said to me, well, yeah, there's lots of women leaders. I mean, you know, you get Hillary Clinton, remember Margaret Thatcher, and I almost slept.
Goldemeyer?
Well, yeah, Goldemeyer is great. Margaret Thatcher is a disaster. She's a devotee of that crazy Chicago Milton Friedman, you know, that guy is wacko.
Well, he's long gone, but he still affects
Thank
us.
Thank God. Yeah, he
yeah.
still has his influences are out there, and that's bad.
Yeah, well,
yes, it is, yeah.
You know what my candidate calls it, trumped-up trickle-down economics.
Very
I
true,
like.
Yep. Exactly true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very clever phraseology. I like that. Well, anyway,
yeah, somebody on Facebook
Tuesday.
Today called Trump the Orange Führer.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny, actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll know by next Sunday what's going on, that's for sure. It won't be any...
I predict by 11 o'clock Tuesday night. And by the way, I wanted to let everybody know, on Tuesday night going into Wednesday, at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 12 midnight Central Time, I'm going to be on KMOX, CBS station in St. Louis, KMOX with John Grayson. He asked me to come on to comment about the results. At midnight in the Midwest, but 1 a.m. you know, Eastern Time, so I'll be staying up all night, I guess, commenting on the election. So if anybody wants to sit in, I'll be there.
That's great. That sounds great.
Well, please remember to post it on your Facebook page, a link, so that we can tune in.
Oh, I will. I'll do it on Tuesday, probably. I think it's too far ahead, but I absolutely will. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I will be doing a lot of writing. You know, I've been doing a lot of writing today, and I will be, you know, History News Network takes a while to get it published, but I'm going to send stuff in, but definitely on my blog, yes.
Great. The Progressive Professor.
ProgressiveProfessor.com since August 08, over 5,300 entries I've done. I can't believe it when I look back. And like I just decided, just type in Jimmy Carter. I couldn't believe how much I've written on Jimmy Carter in the last 8 years.
Oh, no kidding.
An example. You could type any name in, and I said, wow, I sort of forgot how much I've done.
Yeah.
I'm a little overwhelmed that I did all this. Like, how did I do it? But I do it day by day, and it builds up to be quite a record, you know?
Well, Progressive Professor, it's always great to have you on our show. You're always welcome here. And
thank you. It's great to be with all of you.
Very well thought out and very much appreciated. So please do come back often.
I'll be very glad. I just would want you to invite me. I don't want to invite myself.
Oh, I understand, sir. I understand. But no, it's great having you. It's always an invigorating discussion, and we always learn a lot, too. So it's wonderful.
I learn a lot from you guys, too. It's a two-way street.
That's what it's supposed to be.
We all should be learning. Unlike some people don't want to learn, they just have their views and they're stuck in them, you know.
They're voting for Trump.
Yes, and Trump himself, would he listen to anybody? No.
No, not of course not.
He's got a great brain. He just talks to himself, as he says.
Yeah, completely, completely. It's incredible.
I want to thank everybody for being with us this evening, and I do want to put out this thought. I mean, Jack closes us up and he tells us to keep pushing forward, and he will tonight. But just before that, everybody, please, if you have not, go out and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you that it's important that you do vote. Please do.
Yes.
And stay safe. We did not touch on that subject, but just stay safe while all of this goes on. And Jack, Wayne, thank you. Wayne, you still there, Paul? I don't
Wayne?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. My finger had accidentally hit the mute button, so yeah. But please,
well,
go ahead.
I advise everybody, as I always do, to keep pushing forward. We cannot go backward. We can't slide backward. We've got to keep pushing forward. It's the only way to save our skins, our world, our planet, our society, everything. It depends on us pushing forward.
Jack, our children's futures.
Yes, very much.
And let's pray there's no bloodshed or violence after the result. That worries me. That could be a reaction.
Yeah, that's true.
Around him.
Good point.
I hope he concedes, but I don't think he will. You know, I think he probably will refuse to, and that could cause trouble. I'm just concerned about it.
It could. Yeah, it could.
Yeah, the militias and the Klansmen and those type will, you know, they're the ones you got to. Well, the FBI is known. The Islam, you know, those of the Islamic State are not the big threat in this country. It's the Bubba bombers, is what the FBI calls them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the far right.
Like
crazy.
The one that just tried to kill, that shot a cop because he wouldn't make some kids. The cop wouldn't make some kids stand up during the national anthem.
Yeah.
You know.
Boy, oh boy. These people, they're authoritarian types, and they don't even recognize it. But they don't even realize that they're too stupid.
Now, unfortunately, down south, there's a lot of the old Klansmen that have gone into the police profession.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That way they can legally bully people, you know.
That's right, and that's what you kind of see down there.
Yeah.
And I am concerned that Trump, if he was to win, talks about curbing freedom of the press, wanted to start lawsuits against newspapers to shut them down or to make it they can't report things he doesn't like. You know, so that's really scary.
Opponents.
That's the Fifth Amendment, you know.
Jailing political opponents, nah, that's got to go.
I was going to say, that's the kind of crap I saw when I was sent down into South America with the Navy back in 76, 77. The military juntas of Pinochet in Chile and the military junta of Argentina. They drive little black Ford Falcons, 1964 black Ford Falcons. If one of those showed up in the middle of the night at your doorstep, people came missing. They find them buried in the mass graves behind the Federales police barracks.
Yeah, and the point is, it can happen here. We've just got to be on guard against it and prevent it.
Well, like I said, I saw it firsthand, and, you know, this election, we're getting too damn close for my comfort.
Yeah, particularly like you mentioned in Chile. Chile was historically democratic all the time, so that was even more shocking than Argentina.
Right.
Yes. Well, the thing was what caused it all was they democratically elected a socialist president.
Allende, yes. I would do Allende, yeah.
Right, Allende. And, you know, the businessman came up to the United States here and asked the CIA to help overthrow it so they could get their resources back.
Yeah, Nixon
and Richard Nixon
had a heavy hand.
Backed it. Yeah.
And it became, and that's where the abuse on the population came that I saw firsthand.
Terrible.
Like I said, when I came back from that South American tour, propping up those military juntas, and came back to this country, I came back with the epiphany that I did not really help those people. We went down there under the pretense of saving that South America from communism, and what I saw was, you know, they need to be saved from the
authoritarianism.
The authoritarianism.
American interference, because now, whether we do it or not, we got a lot of people in this country who believe it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're any kind of a hawk, your ass is up, you know?
That's it, yep.
Jack, thank you.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Professor. Thank you, Wayne, everybody. And
thank you, everybody,
for tuning in. And make sure everybody votes and push forward.
Absolutely.
Have a great week, everybody.
Be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.